Hello and welcome to the April 30th edition of the REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Bork from Quito, here to discuss how the coronavirus crisis is impacting public and private real estate is Scott Crowe, Chief Investment Officer at Center Square Investment Management. Scott, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Sarah. Great to be here.
So what picture is forming in terms of rent payments across various real estate sectors? And does this give us any clues about what to expect in the coming months?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would point out is that we have data for April, but April's really a reflection of March. And so what's going to be most interesting is what the rent picture looks like in May. In terms of collections, I'd expect May and June to sort of be the low points because they're reflecting the month prior. Basically, as you may expect, the weakest areas are in retail. Industrial has been very strong. Multifamily's actually hung in there a lot better than what a lot of people feared, and office is doing okay too. So to put some numbers on that, industrial is, pretty much close to 100%, call it 98. Office is 90 to 95. Apartments are about the same, and then retail, it's a really a mixed bag. It ranges all the way from 15 to 20% as it relates to malls, through to 50% for larger shopping centers, through to closer to 70% for more service-based retail.
And has the crisis accelerated trends that you were already seeing across commercial real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we're expecting to happen in the post-COVID new normal is a furthering of trends that were already, well underway as we came into the crisis. And some of those are, pretty obvious. Basically, e-commerce has gotten a big push, further along in terms of its penetration of retail sales. That is obviously been to the detriment of brick and mortar retail formats. We now have millions more Amazon Prime subscribers, 40 million new users of online groceries. So and also what's happened is there's been a penetration of the internet now into sort of groceries and services. That's something that wasn't really apparent before, but has been a consequence of this crisis. So that e-commerce penetration is broadening out, not just apparel and other sort of general merchandise and electronics. There's other big picture impacts too that are happening, and some of them are actually reversals of things that have happened in the past. I think it's likely you'll get a reversal of the trend towards urbanization. I think you'll see people move at the margin to the suburbs. I think you'll see movement out, a continued movement out of some of the high-cost, high-tax coastal markets and gateway cities. And the issue there is it's less about the density of an office building in New York. It's more about the ability for the workers to get to work because they rely on mass transit. And so really a lot of what's happening here, whether it's hotels or an office building in New York, it's less about the real estate itself. It's more about getting there that's actually the issue. So we're going to be working in different ways. Some of the work from home that we have experienced is going to stick around. And that obviously means more demand for data centers and cell towers. The other concept that, we've been discussing here at Center Square is, does this, so far we've been relying on the digital environment to deliver us information. Does this crisis tip us from the digital age to the virtual age, where we use digital information to deliver us experiences? In other words, we may get, tired of just talking into a phone or looking at a Zoom meeting on a screen, but we won't necessarily want to travel as much as we used to make that meeting. But is there an in-between where we put on a virtual reality headset and have that meeting through virtual reality? Can we do the same thing for a sporting event? Can we do the same thing for a doctor's visit? And if that starts to gain traction, that's huge demand for data centers in particular and cell towers, because the amount of data you need to effectuate that is exponential.
And do you expect to tinker with your own investment strategy based on some of these things that you're seeing right now?
Yeah, well, fortunately, when we came into this, in our REIT business, we were already overweight a number of the secular thematics that have, that we expect to continue to play out, in the post-COVID new normal. So we did do some, shifting in the portfolio, but we were generally, well positioned for the crisis. I think as it relates to our private real estate business, most of what we have tended to own has been in the Sun Belt and the suburbs as it relates to apartments and office assets. I think that continues. These trends I discussed mean we continue to hunt in those areas, but there are also other asset types that are going to be interesting. Obviously, we believe you'll continue to see a big build out in e-commerce and logistics. It's something we've been very involved with, but also as it relates to new asset classes. There's no doubt that if there is a movement from cities to suburbs, there will be a big demand for single-family rental housing. One of the new technologies that's going to improve that product is purpose-built communities. We have homogeneity of product type. They're more efficient to manage. They enjoy a lot of the economies of scale you get in an apartment building, for instance. Other things that we're exploring do include cell towers and data centers. Particularly on the cell tower end, there's a lot of smaller operators that we can partner with to help what is going to be a big build out in that infrastructure.
Great. And finally, what are some post-crisis recovery scenarios that you envision? And how will that be reflected in some of the key metrics of public and private real estate?
Well, look, one of them, Sarah, isn't great news, because if we are correct in the sense that we will be looking to do things more virtually than physically and do things more online than physically, that means less real estate square footage is going to be required for the economy. And so if you think about it, at the end of the day, real estate is where people come and interact. And if there is a lasting sort of associated risk or cost related to that, that means that we're just going to substitute more of that physical presence with more digital and virtual. If that's the case, what you're going to find is that we may end up with some of the lower quality real estate becoming a bit more obsolete. I think it's possible, for instance, we see 20% of the retail square footage in this country close and not open, or open and struggle and stay shut. But I really do think this ushers in a whole new paradigm of what real estate really is. And this idea of sort of core versus non-core real estate, I think you can throw out the window. Because the reality is that the way that we live our lives is going to evolve significantly, and the paradigms of the past as it relates to what's core real estate is not going to be relevant. Is an office building more core than a data center to a firm's a firm's ability to execute, as an example? Urban, highly amenitized apartment building a safer or better investment than single family for rental housing? So, I think one of the advantages that the REIT market has is that if you look at the fact they have such a heavy footprint to these alternative asset classes or non-traditional asset classes, I think is better said, that they actually have a much higher proportion of winners than losers as it relates to what the post-COVID real estate new normal may look like. In fact, if we add it all up, you know, it's really a 3-to-1 ratio in favor of winners over losers in the REIT market today.
Great, Scott. Thank you so much for sharing your insights today.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, for more on how REITs and listed real estate are responding to the coronavirus, please visit REIT.com.